The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
That's right. We are Gotham Undercover, and I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And I am John, a.k.a. The Substitute, although just been lobbying for a couple of other names for me.
Yeah, like the designated podcaster this week, especially.
Yeah, and Emily called me the pinch podcaster in honor of the baseball playoffs. So
there you go. There you go.
So submit your feedback. What should we call me? Welcome, everyone, to Gotham Undercover. This is episode number 73 of the podcast, and we are part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search out the Facebook page by going to facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about Hog Day Afternoon, and this episode was indeed this episode was written by Kim Newton, who's executive EP on Gotham, but she's done a lot of work on The Blacklist and In Plain Sight, so she's got some good writing credits to her background there, and it really showed.
Yeah, this was, oh man, this was so good. So good. Way to go, Kim.
It was directed by Mark Tondorai, I guess is how you say the name, who's done several episodes of Gotham. Most recently he did the Masks episode, and he's also done work on Paranoid and The Five. So let's talk about our ratings. What did you give it, John?
I gave it 9.25 ways the...
sausage?
Yeah, yes, sausage is made. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And I came up after watching it a second time. I liked it the first time, but the second time I caught even more. So I gave it 9, putting lipstick on a pig.
Paying attention to the detail, man. It's all about the accessories.
Got to pluck those hairs and have the right makeup on the pick.
That's right. Good stuff. Good stuff this episode.
Yep. So I kind of went with the titles that I used for the blog post. It's been a busy week, and I'm not as creative as the Scarlet Cougar. So
No, Jeff, you need to couch it. It's a theme. It's a theme.
Okay, there you go. A theme. Okay. So the A story is, of course, A Hog Day Afternoon, and that deals with Harvey, Jim, and Professor Pig. And then the B story is Hog Wild Fight Club. And so that's the Ed Grundy Lee storyline there. And then the C story is Whole Hog for Penguin, and that's the Sophia Oswald and Zaz storyline.
You're going to have to explain that one to me a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'll do that.
That was more in the chicken realm, so.
Anyway, so.
That killed me, just that little moment of him eating the bucket of chicken.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about that storyline, because that's the one that it was kind of there, but it was kind of the smaller of the three storylines. So basically, Sophia is continuing her run to just draw Penguin into her circle. And so we find out that Sophia and Oswald have had 3 public dinners, and so they've kind of set the public expectation that the Falcons are supporting Penguin, and then she invites Oswald for lunch, so it kind of gives the impression that it's a date.
So I enjoyed the interplay here because she knew full well that when she didn't show up, he was going to get suspicious, just like she told him. She's like, your very survival depends on you being, you know, paranoid, seeing everybody as a threat. So she knew full well, you know, what he was going to be doing in there. But I love that at every single turn, she's not giving him reason to suspect her. And I can't wait to see how this culminates, because it's going to be a big old smackdown when it finally comes. But she's just one step at a time, pulling him in. And it's fun to watch.
Right. And it's so cool because she is using these steps to make him suspect things. And, you know, he's very suspicious. So when Zaz comes in saying she's not coming, and Zaz is sent out to document what's going on. And once again, Zaz is so funny in this episode.
What? It's going to go to waste.
So, you know, Zaz gets the coverage of kind of what she's doing, but that just causes him to distrust Oswald, to distrust her. And then she turns that around and says, oh, no, I was building an orphanage. And, you know,
which, by the way, hand wavy from meeting with the politicians to getting it constructed to the next day, having them all there in uniform and all that. I was like, what now?
Yeah. And we find out from Penn that the hotel was bought months ago. So we're like, okay, so they bought it before she even came to Gotham. More hand wavy.
But whatever. Okay.
But anyway, but so she surprises him with this orphanage, and it all that does is just throws him off and draws him even closer in. It's so manipulative. And then she turns around, and Jim is questioning her at the beginning of the episode. What are you doing? It looks like you're just getting in on his good side. I need to know a plan. And she is just totally opposite with him than she is with Penguin. She is strong. She's like, listen, I'm going to have him in the palm of my hand. If, you know, you give a little while, if you don't like it, I'll leave, I'll stay, whatever. I mean, she just turns on a dime to adapt to who she's dealing with. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she had to grow up that way. She had to watch things that her dad did that were horrific, and she had to learn how to deal with that and put a public face on. So, yeah, this is not new territory for her.
Yeah, yeah. So, the kind of the title is Whole Hog for Penguin. She's making it look like she's going all the way for Penguin, but she's not, you know, she's not really doing that. She's got her means. And we talked about this last week on the podcast, but, you know, Crystal was playing it well, but it's Sophia is, she's got one side for Penguin, one side for Jim, and then she's got that side that's just her own that we haven't really seen. So I'm just enjoying the performance.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for the explanation. break it down for a brother.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the B storyline, the Fight Club. And I just really enjoyed this, and I'm interested to see if we get some feedback maybe next week from Chris, because he's a big guy into the WWE and that kind of stuff. So we'll see if we get some feedback about Fight Club and the wrestling moves there. But so we've got Grundy competing, and this was hilarious. He's just, you know, he's getting beat down, and then Ed has to tell him, fight, come on, fight now. He's like, fight now? Yes. Wow. And then he just trounces the guy.
Yeah, that's it, fight now? Yes. Interesting that we start to get the background of why Lee is there, and I'm glad they didn't like drag that out.
Yes, me too.
So she is operating a back alley clinic,
right?
And she's got this understanding with Cherry that, okay, I'll support you in that effort so long as you keep my fighters, you know, in good shape and, you know, good enough to fight. So I'm not sure what that means. Like, she's giving her the space or money support or whatever the case may be. So I really enjoyed that there is that aspect to Lee. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but as we you know, find out her motivation, I don't know, it really touched me, and I was very pleasantly surprised at where they were going with this.
Yeah, I really think that obviously she's using the money she's making there at the Fight Club to run the clinic, and maybe getting the word out with just being around the Fight Club and in that area that it's going on, but it's still not enough to pay for what she needs. And I, like you said, I appreciate the motivation that we get the explanation that she feels guilty because the Narrows was hit hardest by the Tetch virus, and that she has to make up for that. While she wasn't directly responsible, she was complicit in it, and she needs to make up for that. And I just love it because you get to see her around the Fight Club, and she's doing what Cherry says, and she's got that hard shell on around her. And then you see her in the clinic, and she's working with the kids and the people, and you see a little more of the Lee that we're used to. But yeah, she's grown a lot, and Ed has come to her and says, basically, okay, listen, we're here to make money because I need to get my smarts back. We'll leave, or, you know, when we get enough money, or you can help me out. And she is just not having it. Yeah, she is that. I just appreciate that she's got that, you know, shield up against it. And just her interactions with Ed were so great this episode.
Yeah, the whole blackmailing thing, that was laugh out loud funny. Because he's like, I'm going to do something. She just that's your blackmail? Which he has to give him that word too. I love watching Ed sort of in this state. I hope he doesn't get all of his smarts back too quickly, because this is too much fun.
And you know he's got to have fun playing it this way. You know, just the challenge of playing an Ed who's frustrated and just knows. That's the fun part of it. He knows he was better than this, and he knows what he's missing, as opposed to Grundy, who doesn't realize what he was missing of his old self. So yeah, it's interesting. And
it was such a sweet scene with Lee and Grundy, and her patching him up and just trying to tell him, look, you know, I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know why your hand is back or whatever. And he's like, Grundy, come from swamp. And she's like, yeah, I got that. You know, just she's still being so trying to be helpful to him, and I don't know. It was just I was touched by it.
Yeah, it is. And we get a lot, you know, that scene also gives us insight to Grundy, because, I mean, she's sitting there literally stapling him up and he's not reacting. And she's saying, okay, you're bleeding swamp water. It's not even blood, and you don't have a heartbeat. So it gives us more, you know, explanation into who Grundy is physically without, you know, with that explanation feeling organic to the series. And that's one thing I appreciate about Gotham, is they don't have to sit there and explain everything and do it in a way that feels just demeaning. They write it in, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point.
So So after his first fight, he gets patched up and he's ready for the fight the next night. And I see the guy, and I watched some wrestling growing up, but I'm like, this guy looks like one of the Road Warriors. And I've even got a picture in the blog post of the Road Warriors from WWE, because the guy's got the spiked shoulder pads and all that kind of stuff. And it's I'm like,
Norse Viking.
So the he just, you know, kind of surprises Grundy there at the first, and then, but then Grundy just takes him out, you know, just levels him, and it's just like, ooh.
Yeah, you watch all the people. That's what I love. You watch all the people, and even though they're there for all the, you know, perverse violence on that, even they're like, ooh.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've got this established. It's running. We've got this fight club going on. Now we've got the promise, because Lee's run out of the medication that she needs. So she takes Ed's money and says she'll help him. So we've got those kind of working on a begrudging basis. And we've got, you know, Grundy working, you know, in the fight club for Ed. And we get to see a little more of Marina Benedict's character of Cherry this week. We don't get to know a whole lot of the motivation there, but it seems like she's kind of a major player here, and we may get to see more in coming weeks. But it's just an interesting circumstance that brings all these together, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where this trio goes forward, and seeing how that plays out, and if Lee can do anything for Ed or not.
Well, and I have a feeling we're going to see Lee not really help him, and I'm using air quotes that you can't see, not really help him, but maybe even further mess him up. And I, because she's going to get her revenge. She made it very clear to him that, look, dude, what should I not be mad about you, mad at you about? You know, either the killing Chris or framing Jim for, you know, do all this so I could lose him. He went to prison and I lost my baby. Which part should I get mad at you about? So, I mean, she's not going to let this go.
And, right.
And he's just kind of falling right into her hands on this.
Yeah. So I've got to ask you a question, and I'm not sure that Ed is smart enough yet, but we do see him see that she does have that clinic, and then we see her looking for medication and it's not there. Do you think she just ran out and didn't realize it, or he actually stole some, you know, in a way to get some leverage?
No, I think she ran out, because that had to be our motivation to for her to go to him to say, okay, I need the money so that I can, you know, get the supplies that I need. I honestly think she ran out. I don't think he would have been able to get in the clinic, because there's so many people around and she's there all the time, you know, when it's open and everything. So
Yeah, that's what I thought too. The first time I thought, did he steal? And then when I rewatched it, I was like, no, I think she just ran out, and she's trying to do this on her own, and she's just gonna run out when she need. You know, it's just gonna be hard because she's gonna have all these demands. So, yeah, that's what I thought too. We have instead of a dog day afternoon, Harvey and Jim are having a hog day afternoon, and we get introduced to a character that I read about in the comics. So he was kind of a little later arced, but one that we've kind of been looking forward to because of the actor. And Michael does an excellent job. We saw him in Fringe. Yep. And that's where I know him from and know him best that way. Now, he's done, you know, other things. But what I appreciated about his portrayal and how Kim wrote it is the fact that other than maybe oink, oink, we did not hear him speak until like 12, 15 minutes left in the episode. And he was scary. I mean, you're talking about an actor emoting through just his actions, because we can't see his face.
Right.
And it was so good.
And Cerberus is really a master at this, because like you were saying, I know him as well from Fringe, but he had to approach that role in a way that he couldn't emote, right? He had to stay totally level the whole time. But yet, what a nuanced and fascinating character that he provided us through the way that he spoke, through the way that he would react yet not react, and that kind of thing. And sure, you had to infer, But I mean, he's a master at this, of not having to, you know, portray things as a, you know, a normal actor would. I mean, it's so good. And he's just fantastic at it.
Yeah. So we find out that he is taking the corrupt cops and he is basically ending them and calling them out for being pigs by putting the pig face on them. And it's not just that he is putting that pig face, like he is prepping. He is taking them back. He is to his lair. He's working on them. He is killing them, putting the, you know, the face on, and really making an effort in this. And he's kind of working his way down. Like he in this episode, he is going over after the bag men, who are the lead people who are delivering Penguin's payoffs to the GCPD. And so he's kind of fighting his way down that way. It's very interesting that we kind of learn his motivation later on, that he is fighting this corruption and he really admires Jim because he knows that Jim is fighting that corruption. But he is just taking it to that nth degree. We get some real insight. He says that he was severely affected and damaged and hurt by the pigs in power. Mm-hmm. And so we get this mystery of who did what and how did that turn him over to what he is and force his hand to take these extreme measures. Mm-hmm. But we also still have the mystery of how he is finding out who is crooked and who is not. Yep. And so I love that even in the midst of this kind of big bad that we've got going on, that we still... he's not a villain of the week because we've got these mysteries going on that really leave us asking questions.
Right. I went back and rewatched the scene in the beginning between Jim and Oswald, and him going to Oswald to say, okay, look, the people on your payroll are being targeted. Do you know anything about it? And Oswald just takes him and spins him around and puts the blindfold on him and just sends him on his way and gives him his exact lead that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
All the time saying, let me know how I need to get involved.
I'm rooting for you.
It was what a fantastic performance. On Penguin's part,
yeah,
you know, to totally have the control of that situation, and Jim walking in there thinking that he would have it. It was such a great interplay.
Oswald, you know, Robin Lord Taylor was stretched this episode with playing kind of two halves there, and you know, he's really stretched playing those two different roles in this episode. But, yeah, we still are left wondering what's going on, but he doesn't seem too concerned about yet about his bagmen being knocked off. I mean, I guess he maybe considers, well, there's other people in the force that I can use. So a pig goes after two more, and that's where we see him plucking hairs and putting makeup on one pig, and you know, because it's a female cop. And so Harvey and Jim are tracing down leads. They know that pig is going after the corrupt cops, and so they're trying to find out who else pig may be targeting, and they're having hard luck until they get to this, I guess it's a detective that they run into. They throw in the trunk and they're like, it's gonna be a hot one today. I love it, because they're like, you know, the guy can't see him, but Jim's, you know, loosening his tie. He's playing it all out. You know, it's going to be a hot one today, you know. And Harvey's like, yeah, I think we need to go lunch. And Jim's like, yeah, that sounds good. And he's playing it out like he's acting it out, even though the guy can't see him. And the guy's like, hey, wait, I'll tell you.
Yep. And what I loved about this sequence and a lot about this episode was as we got to watch them hunt these different people down, we got so many different scenes from Gotham. I loved it. It's like we kind of got the 50 Cent tour of all these different areas of Gotham in this episode. And I mean, we talk about the production value and just how much they put into the aesthetic of this series. And that was so well displayed this episode. I was loving it.
Yeah, definitely. We got to see kind of the courts, outside of the courts. We got to see some back alleys. We got to see this abandoned dairy. We got to see a lot of different parts of the town that we kind of haven't seen before. And it just gives you a fuller picture of what Gotham is. Jim and Harvey find out that Jim kind of puts the shake down on this supposedly blind sax player
and, that was great. And
finds out that there was a van hanging out. They found out the name of the van, and it gets traced out and has been seen at this abandoned dairy. So the two of them head over there just by themselves because they at this point they know that Pig has an inside line and they don't want, they're not sure who to trust. And so they head over there themselves and we get to see this final bag man. He's strapped to a chair with the pig mask on and Harvey's trying to free him and Jim is taking the mask off and I'm looking at the string and I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good. And very Joker-esque. The guy has a grenade planted in his stomach and taking off the mask is pulling the pin and boom. The guys are able to get far enough away, but they are knocked out and captured by Pig. And here's where the fun and games begins. Oh, gosh. I absolutely loved this section because of the showmanship of Pig. He's got this, his outfit, his costume has got this full butcher's apron on that has all the pockets, and he's spinning around with cleavers very, you know, with a lot of showmanship. And I'm like, ooh, this is very frightening.
But he's very right. I mean, you push Jim just a little bit further and he wouldn't have a problem with taking these guys out. Now, maybe not in such a gruesome way or anything, but he's absolutely right. He's like, there's no reason why we can't be on the same page on this. You know, I'm right. You know that you would treat it the same way. So, you know, interesting insight there.
Yeah. Jim is trying even very. He's very good because he's thinking, I would say on his feet, but he's strapped up. But he is thinking on his feet. He is trying to figure out if this guy is a cop. Well, if he is, then he can reason with him that way. And then, you know, Pig's like, I'm not going to let you know. But he said, I'm going to reason with you. And so he tries to reason with him and, you know, like you said, say, listen, we're on the same side. And Jim is, you know, he's not going to take it that far, but they kind of get interrupted because Harvey's awake. Pig makes it clear that Jim should not be hanging around with Harvey because Harvey's crooked. And this, you know, really makes Jim think, but he's still loyal to Harvey. He's like, okay, I've got to get out of this, even if that means dropping off like a story drop to get out of this chair. I'm like, this is going to be dangerous here. But evidently, he drops off that drop, and I guess once he gets free, he calls backup because Harvey says, you know, backup's been called. And Pig says, you know, listen, if they'd been called, they would have been here by now. But so maybe Jim got through to him. But he does come in and Pig has Harvey. And I love it because Harvey talks about it. He cut Harvey just deep enough where Jim had to make a choice. Yep. Either follow Pig and, you know, Harvey's dead, or save Harvey and Pig gets away. And so that really, it proves to Pig where Jim falls. Like, he's saving Harvey, a guy that he's just been told is corrupt, instead of chasing down, you know, the bad guy per se. And so
let me interject here, because sure. here's what I just adore about that ending scene between Harvey and Jim. Mm-hmm. Because as the confrontation goes, I think what really broke my heart, I'm telling you, I actually teared up in this conversation. But what really killed me was that Jim figured it out. But even going back and looking it over the episode, there wasn't anything that just outright told me Bullock was on the take, because, you know, the Pig could have been mad at him just because he is a compromised cop in general. Like, he will do whatever means are necessary. He's signing off on all this stuff for Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
He's been compromised the entire time we've known him.
Right.
But that's okay. You know, I mean, we still love him, and we still, you know, mostly support him, and so on and so forth. So what really killed me about that conversation was that, at least from my vantage point, I didn't see it coming. And Jim calls him out on it.
Yeah.
And my goodness, what a standout performance from these two. I mean,
Donald Logue just knocked it out of the park in that scene, because just see the depth, and you see how he had been justifying it himself. Mm-hmm. You can see that he felt that, you know, he was getting these orders from above to let things fly, and he had needs, and like he said, he wasn't doing anything he wouldn't have done, but he sees the disappointment in Jim, and he sees what it has cost because of what Pig is doing, but it's that disappointment that he feels from Jim, and in the midst of trying to justify it, you just see him breaking down, and that emotion on his face, he just did so good. I mean, I appreciate Donald's acting. Ben is just a harder actor sometimes. He's not as accomplished in kind of conveying emotions, I think, as Donald is. And Donald just portrays that so well in this episode, that I let not only my partner down, I let my friend down. I've disappointed him.
Yes.
And we had this hard talk earlier in the season between Jim and Harvey at the bar there about, you know, Harvey was standing up to Jim and saying, we've got to stand up, we've got to have an army ready, we've got to protect these guys. And it was Jim having to listen to that and not like it and take it. But here we get the flip side of Jim laying down the law for Harvey, and it's just so touching. It's so good. I mean, that scene was so well acted.
Mm-hmm. And one of the highest points of the whole entire series for me.
Yeah, so good. And we're going to see fallout from that. We're going to see more about that as things come on. And that's what I like about this series, is they don't wrap up things in nice little pretty bows in one episode. They are content to let things play over multiple arcs. And that makes it feel organic, because over these seasons, we've seen this camaraderie start to build between Harvey and Jim. And we've seen like them rubbing and scratching against each other, you know, flint and steel. And we've seen this friendship bond, and we're going to continue it forward, and it's going to be rocky. It's not going to be solved in one, you know, in one episode. And see, that's what I appreciate, is that it feels true to life. And I really appreciate, again, Kim's writing, because she knows the characters on Gotham, but we see the kind of intellectual work she's done with the Blacklist and other things, and she's bringing that to Gotham, and I just really appreciate it.
That's excellent point.
Yeah, and we are left at the end of the episode with Pig talking to his herd of swine there, saying, "Rest well, the axe falls tomorrow." And we know that this episode was just episode one of a 3-episode arc with Pig. And I'm really impressed, and I'm just hoping that we get more with Pig than just these 3 episodes, because once again, Michael's acting was just so good in this episode, and like I said, I'm looking forward to it even more. I didn't talk a whole lot about it in this section, but his voice and his tone and the way he used his words, and it was a little bit of an accent that he applied to his speaking. It was just so good.
Absolutely. Such a powerful arc that I think is coming here, and not overdone. I mean, there's some things that, I mean, let's face it, we're 4 seasons in. There's some of these characters that have just been a little over the top, but this is compelling. Yeah, this is really, really well constructed and put together. So can't wait to see where we go from here.
Yeah, I agree. I like that we are getting longer arcs again with some of the bad guys, so that it's not just a let's blow through all the villains at one time, but that we're getting longer arcs that way. And, you know, the city is feeling menaced. We do see on the TV show that the city is menaced by what Pig is doing. So I'm appreciating it. So, All right. Anything else that we haven't hit that you want to cover?
No, I think we got it all. It was nice to get some concentrated time with some characters that of course leaves others out, but you know, we'll take it the back and forth.
Yeah.
And, look forward to seeing what we find with Bruce, and look like from the promo that Selina is back next week. So that's good. And so, yeah, we'll see where everything falls as we move forward. I can't believe we're 6 episodes in this season already.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we've been talking a little bit about Kim Newton's work on The Blacklist. And so let's find out a little bit more about The Blacklist with The Blacklist Exposed.
Are you a fan of the TV show The Blacklist? Then you should listen to the Blacklist Exposed podcast, but don't take my word for it.
Hello, Garys. This is Susan Blumert.
Hey, this is Amir.
Hi, it's Megan Boone.
This is Hisham Taufik.
Hey, this is John Bokenkamp. Welcome to the Blacklist Exposed.
The Blacklist Exposed.
Blacklist Exposed.
The Blacklist Exposed.
The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Hear these great interviews and more by downloading the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS or Android, and get all the case profiles at theblacklistexposed.com.
Yeah, and Troy and Aaron do a great job just breaking things down. And as you hear, they get great interviews with the cast and the crew, and they really dig deep and have a lot of help with the community. So if you really enjoy The Blacklist or know folks that do, please tell them about The Blacklist Exposed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Troy and Aaron are nationally known for their efforts in this, and it is such a great podcast and such a great part of our Golden Spiral Media podcast network. And just, you know, love to see the success that they have with this. I have The Blacklist in my Netflix queue, and I've seen a couple episodes, and, you know, it's one of those things that you know, I can't keep up with it for everything else that I want and need to see, you know, kind of a thing. But love to have that available and can't wait to dig into it further down the line.
So. Exactly. Me too. That's me too. I'm looking forward to binging it sometime soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We actually have some feedback this week. So we've got some feedback from our green butterfly, Justina.
Love our green butterfly.
That's right. She's great. She says, "Good evening, Gotham. This is your eye in the sky, green butterfly. The Dark Knight is my favorite story arc to date. So much character development. I have been missing Selina and Ivy. I hope, fingers crossed emoji, we check in on them soon. I really like Karen's theory about Ra's al Ghul soul transfer to Barbara. I would love, heart emoji, if that storyline came about. I like that Lee is back in the story. OMG. OMG emoji. I'm only halfway through this week's episode, but between the Fight Club and Professor Pig emoji, Pigman, I don't think this episode is going to rate high in my opinion, probably because I'm closing my eyes emoji a lot. You know, it's got the scared, frightened face emoji and then the pig emoji. I did, however, crack up when Zaz told Penguin emoji, he wasn't listening. And he's got the laughing emoji. Buddy system, people. What do we say about approximately groups of 13 or so? Yeah. You don't go out in Gotham without like a group of 13. That's been well established. You're going to get kidnapped. She continues, stay safe, undercover agents. Love, heart emoji, green butterfly emoji, smiling emoji, pig emoji, frightened emoji. Oh, we thank you, Green Butterfly, even if you're getting parts and pieces of the episode because you're peeking over your hands.
Justine, I agree. I think this story arc has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Just all of these episodes have landed so very well. And really looking forward to where we're going.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. I think the arc is good, and I'm excited to see what's coming next. The characters are rich, and we're getting the different ones, you know, the changes in Penguin. We're getting Ed being challenged. We're getting some established villains coming into the series, but just kind of in interesting ways. So I'm really appreciating it. And we do appreciate Green Butterfly. She's got a blog post up on the network where she's talking about the beginning of a lot of the DC shows. So you need to check that out. And she is a regular contributor to most of the shows on the network. So please check her out, her blogs and her feedback. And we do thank her so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to turn it over to pre-recorded John so he can tell you how that you can leave your feedback.
How meta.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thank you so much, John, for doing that. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Saves a little bit of voice over these episodes.
Indeed.
So before we get into a little bit of news, if you'll allow me, sir, sure. I'll do a small plug for
definitely
Triplecast, because for those of you who are loving the DC universe and are looking forward to the Justice League movie coming out here in the States on November 16th, I highly encourage you to come over and join us on Triplecast, which is also which is also a part of our Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. And we are currently doing a triple that involves the Road to Justice League, and we are looking at Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Wonder Woman. And so we've just recorded Batman v Superman, and we'll be recording Wonder Woman next week. So we're getting all these out so you can be up to speed and prepared for Justice League when it comes out. And Jeff is just as much a part of that process, because he's the one that writes our blog posts. So he's watching these films and doing his own written review with each and every single film that we do. So Jeff, Corey and I thank you for that very much. And so, again, if you're not already on board, join us over at Triplecast. You can find us under the Golden Spiral Media All Inclusive feed, or look up Triplecast under Apple Podcasts.
That's right. And I do appreciate it, because, you know, this series, I didn't see the first two in theaters, and I waited until the Ultimate Edition of Batman versus Superman came out, and I watched that, and then I went back and watched Man of Steel, and I have a greater appreciation for the two after watching them a second time. I think I liked Man of Steel a little bit better than I did Dawn of Justice. Just because of how much they tried to do. But, you know, I'll get into that in my blog post. But Wonder Woman, I absolutely love. Saw that in the theater, own that, looking forward to watching it again. And so I really appreciate what you two are bringing to the table and talking about the highs and the lows of the story and really looking at it and examining it. And it is, as y'all brought out in the first podcast in the series, that the DCEU, the kind of the cinematic, is very different than what is seen on TV. And so you're playing both sides of the DC universe this week with helping out with Gotham Undercover and Made of Steel, and then jumping over to the cinematic universe. So covering it all.
I'm not confused yet.
Yeah. So anyway, but do check out Triplecast. It's a great series. They really have a lot of fun digging into the different movie series, and you'll really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right, back to Gotham, and we are talking about next week's episode entitled A Day in the Narrows. With Professor Pig, guest star Michael Cerberus, striking fear throughout Gotham, Gordon and Bullock head into the Narrows to look for clues. Bruce Wayne meets a former friend, Grace, guest star Samia Finnery, who convinces him to come along for a night out with some old classmates. Meanwhile, Sophia's relationship with Penguin and Gordon to continue to evolve in a all-new A Dark Knight, A Day in the Narrows episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, November 2nd at 8 o'clock Central on Fox.
Your discretion is advised.
Lovely. Yeah, it looks like, I'm not exactly sure yet, but it looks like multiple episodes coming up. And then we will probably take a break, considering that Thursday night is Thanksgiving. So we'll probably take a break and then probably get another couple episodes in December to finish out the first half of the series. But they've been really stingy with the pictures. Because if you looked at the pictures on the Facebook group for this episode, they did not include anything of Grundy and none of Pig, and they just put up some of those after the episode aired, and they did not put out any photos for A Day in the Narrows until last night, so a day after it aired. So they're being really cautious, and so they're trying not to spoil people and give away story plots. But the Day in the Narrows photos are up, and as soon as the other photos for the upcoming episodes are out, I'll put them up on the Facebook group. But they have released some of the descriptions for the upcoming episodes, and those are up. But yeah, looks like we're going to get another couple episodes, a break for Thanksgiving, and then another couple episodes before we break for the holidays. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. I love exploring Bruce Wayne as a teenager, mm-hmm. and because this is really the only forum that has really lent itself to that.
Right.
And so I'm interested to find out more about Grace. And looks like we got a little Mackie going on there. So obviously they've had some kind of relationship in the past. So it's going to be neat to explore some of those depths with Bruce. So.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming out and helping us this week. We really appreciate you filling in and giving Karen a break so she can take some vacation time.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
always,
much.
Absolutely. Yeah, always ready to get to the bat signal when it comes out.
So. All right, folks. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and check us out. Same bat time, same bat channel.